It's Sunday night, 6 o'clock, time for our Berean Baptist Church Sunday night study in the book of Nehemiah. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 6. Together, Lord willing, we're going to look at verses 1 through 19 in a sermon that I've entitled Investing in Deception. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 19. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, it is my earnest prayer that you would teach us tonight and grow us in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But help us, Lord, as we learn insights from Nehemiah chapter 6 and how we as leadership need to be protected. We need to be wary. We need to be vigilant. We need to be constantly, Lord, by your grace, by your strength, enabled to stand for you and walk with you and be able to minister for you. So, Lord, strengthen your people and give me wisdom and thought flow and your divine enablement to share forth your truth powerfully. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter states that under Nehemiah's leadership, the walls were rebuilt in just 52 days. That is miraculous, isn't it? Think about all the walls around the city of Jerusalem, and now they're rebuilt in just 52 days. Now, the gates at this point on the walls were not set up, but the God-blessed construction had gone so well that the enemies of God and Nehemiah were very fearfully concerned. Since the method of attack by Sanballat, Tobiah, and others did not stop the work on the walls, they had to use another satanic approach. And herein we can gain wisdom and insight for our ministry, for our church, for our lives as to how we can stand for the Lord. So now what Satan is going to do through Sanballat and Tobiah is concentrate their attack on Nehemiah. And you might think at first that it would be an attack as to where they would berate him and belittle him and mock him. Well, that's not going to be the primary approach. So there's much to learn from what we're going to see tonight. Now, looking back over our shoulder, remember I told you in the beginning that there were going to be 9 different types of attacks that Satan would use to try and stop the work, to try and stop the rebuilding of the walls, to try and discourage Nehemiah, to try and dissipate the people and cause them to remain vulnerable to the Samaritans, to the Philistines to the west and to the Arabs to the south. The first one that we looked at as we're working our way through the book of Nehemiah and finding these 9 different approaches of attacks by Satan. Number one was ridicule. We found that in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. The second one was an alliance of the ungodly in chapter 4 and verse 8. The third was to inject false information and lies to intimidate and to stop the work by injecting that amongst the people. The fourth one was stimulate internal fighting amongst God's people. And we looked at that last week in chapter 5. Now, in this particular chapter, we're going to see how Satan directs the attack at Nehemiah himself. Let me read for you chapter 6 of Nehemiah, verses 1 through 23. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no more breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. Verse 6, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen in Geshmu, saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, and thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Verse 10, afterwards I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he prophesied this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day in the month Elul, and 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam and the son of Bechariah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. I have a long quote that I want to read for you from Warren Wiersbe's book, because I think it really will give us an application and an understanding of what's going on. So listen along. Since Sanballat and his friends had failed miserably in their attempts to stop the people from working, they decided to concentrate their attacks on Nehemiah himself. If they could eliminate him or even discredit him, they could mobilize their allies living in Jerusalem and take over the city. You read about that in verses 17 and 18. The average person doesn't realize the tremendous pressures and testing that leaders experience day after day. Leaders are often blamed for things they didn't do and criticized for things that they tried to do. They are misquoted and misunderstood and rarely given the opportunity to set the record straight. If they act quickly, they are called reckless. If they take their time, they are cowardly or unconcerned. People in places of spiritual leadership not only have the pressures that all leaders face, but they must also battle an infernal enemy, Satan, who is a master deceiver and a murderer. Satan can either come as a serpent who deceives, 2 Corinthians 11:3, or a lion that devours, 1 Peter 5:8. Christian leaders must be alert and spiritually equipped to oppose Satan. So it is important that God's people pray earnestly, not only for those that are in civil authority, as the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, but also for those in places of spiritual authority in our churches. If Satan can defeat a Christian leader, he can cripple a whole ministry and discredit that ministry for the cause of Christ. So, how is he going to do that? Satan will cause people to invest in deception to generate fear. And that's exactly what we're going to see in Nehemiah chapter 6. There are four satanic strategies that we are going to take a look at. Now, what is the first strategy to get at Nehemiah? It is going to be that Nehemiah, try and get him to compromise with the Sanballats of his world. Notice with me in verses 1 to 4, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, the rest of the enemies heard that I had builded the wall, but I hadn't set up the doors. Look at verse 2. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. He said, you know what we need to do? We need to get together. We need to talk about this. We need to just dialogue about this. You know, God doesn't tell us to dialogue with the ungodly. He tells us to debate with them. When you dialogue, that means that there's already set overlap of agreement. Well, we have no agreement with the world. Well, Sanballat's plan was to generate fear in the heart of Nehemiah and his workers, knowing that fear destroys faith and will paralyze the work. Listen very quietly, carefully. I'm going to give you a quote from history. And immediately you're going to recognize the impact of this satanic plan and how he has used that down through the ages. A quote from Adolf Hitler. Listen very carefully. Adolf Hitler said, "Mental confusion, contradiction of feelings, indecisiveness, panic, these are our weapons." He was saying that this is the weapons of the Third Reich and how they would use those to take over the world. Well, Jesus had to face the specter of fear as well in Matthew chapter 4 and other places, but he overcame it by faith in his Father and in his Father's plan for him. Now, Nehemiah didn't listen to the enemies. He didn't listen to their lies, and he completed the wall. And so that's the beauty of what you're going to see here. But we need to look at how Satan is going to work. We need to be aware of his methodology. Look at verse 4. It says, "Yet they sent unto me four times after the sword, and I answered them after the same manner." You know what he wants? He wants Nehemiah to compromise, but he's really doing a deceptive cooperation to inject into his heart compromise, fear, and a level of control. So he says, let's meet halfway. He wanted to meet in a village halfway between Jerusalem and Samaria, which, by the way, was still under Jewish jurisdiction. He says, let's meet in a quiet place to show friendliness. You know, when the devil and the enemies of God show friendliness, you and I need to be exercising great vigilance. He wanted deceptive infiltration. Look at verse 5. "Then Sanballat and his servant sent unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand." The satanic strategy, if you can't beat them, if we can't beat Nehemiah, if we can't turn them to fear, if we can't stop the work, if we can't do all of those other things we talked about, well, let's join with them and begin to erode their faith, erode their principles, erode their doctrines, and erode their plans by compromising, by getting them to go along with our plans. Christian leaders must cooperate with godly leaders of like, faith, and practice, but not with enemies that offer an olive branch. Notice what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You see, God does not want us to get involved in this deceptive infiltration. Compromise is good if you're dealing with two sides who love each other and have the same ultimate goal in mind of living to the glory of God. But that's the only ground for compromise. Certainly not with the enemy of God and those who don't want to live to the glory of God. Nehemiah rejected the enemies because of three convictions in his life. Let me pause for a moment. Do you have convictions? Well, you say, I think I have convictions. Well, what are they? A conviction is a pre-made decision of what you will do or won't do based upon the instructions of God. In other words, it lets God's word be a governance in your choices, your attitudes, your actions, and your appetites. A conviction says, based on this verse, this is something I will never do. This is something that I will always do. This is something that I'm going to implement in my life. So when the wave of temptation, the wave of compromise, the, hey, let's meet together and talk about this comes your way, you're able to stand on truth. You're able to withstand the attacks of Satan through this subtlety, through this craftiness that often comes and sounds so good to accomplish a goal. Hey, let's build the walls, but hey, let us come on in and help you with that. Obviously, you know what was going to happen. The walls may have been built, but before long, they would have been torn down all over again. So Nehemiah is going to fend off his enemies with his convictions in three key areas. Number one, in verse 2, it says that, "But they thought to do me mischief." He knew they were lying, and they knew that he knew that they wanted to kill him. Secondly, he knew the greatness of the work that God had given him to do, and he was not going to turn aside. Notice what he says, I am doing a great work, and I'm doing it for God. Why should I leave a great work and start communicating with those who don't want to do anything for the glory of God? And then thirdly, the Jews had nothing in common with Sanballat and his crowd. There could be no basis of cooperation. Nehemiah had made that clear from the very beginning. Look with me back in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. You don't have any part of this Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershom. You don't have any part in anything that God is doing here. God's people are different from the world and must maintain their separated position. This was true for Nehemiah, and it's true for us. Let me read for you 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, through chapter 7 and verse 1. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, and they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God is saying that we are the people of God who need to stand up and do to the glory of God. I'm actually reading the wrong portion here, so let me get back. I'm sorry about that. Verse 14, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. You know, Nehemiah did not want to compromise. Nehemiah had both discernment and determination, and he refused the offers of Sanballat and Tobiah, which were wrong the first time, the third time, the fifth time, and any time they tried to get Nehemiah to do what he was doing. The second satanic strategy that they are going to bring, now Sanballat and Tobiah are literally having their thoughts put in their mind by Satan, they're now investing in deception in this second way. We will tell everyone about you and what you're doing if you don't come and meet with us. In other words, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make up lies about you. So you better come and talk to us, because you know what? We're going to make up lies about you and we're going to destroy you anyway. The fifth approach in verse 5, it says, then Sanballat and his servants sent unto me in like manner the fifth time, an open letter in his hand. An open letter that was accusing Nehemiah of sedition. Now, what is sedition? It means Nehemiah, it would state, this is a lie, that Nehemiah wanted to be king and rebel against King Artaxerxes, who had been so kind to Nehemiah, giving him the supplies, the people, the protection in order to go there and do this work. They're going to report back to King Artaxerxes that Nehemiah wants to set himself up as king, that Nehemiah wants to reject Persian rule and take over. Now, they had hinted that clear back in chapter 2 and verse 19. You know, Jesus was accused by the same satanic method in Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 5. Luke 23 and verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate answered him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were in more fear, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this particular place. They tried to use that that tactic, and this is an age-old tactic by Satan. Make up lies about you, saying this is what your real motive is. This is what you're really trying to accomplish. Now, the enemy used official letters in their attacks in verse 5, in verse 17, and verse 19. And they were meant to be both intimidating and insulting to Nehemiah. Historically, what they did is they would write this up in an official document, roll it into a scroll. They would publicly gather everybody together, unfurl the scroll, and read it before the people. Well, obviously, it looked like some great proclamation that was, it had to be right, it had to be true, it had to be official. This was an official scroll. When in reality, it was a method of deception. Statements like, it has been reported that Nehemiah is about to, and they say that Nehemiah is really planning on being. These are the words of the gossip mongers hovering like vultures, just waiting for a tidbit of slander to use against pastors and leaders like Nehemiah. You know, gossip is news that you have to hurry and tell somebody about quickly before you find out it isn't true. That's really the basis of gossip. Well, the hope of Sanballat was to reach the Persian king Artaxerxes with the news that Nehemiah was about to proclaim himself king and watch the Persian monarch send forth the armies, march on Jerusalem to stop Nehemiah, destroy all the work, and destroy that which has been accomplished. So they say, let's meet together and talk about this, or this is what we're going to do, Nehemiah. So the real true heart of Sanballat and Tobiah was really showing forth. Verses 8 and 9 are Nehemiah's response. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. I have no plans of being king. You're making this up. Verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened for the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now verse 9 is kind of easier to understand in the English Standard Version, so let me read it for you. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking that their hands will drop from the work and it will not get done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. So we see that this strategy isn't going to work against Nehemiah. You know what we're going to do? We're going to tell the king that you want to be king and then you're going to do us. Nehemiah says, nope, not going to work. Not only did the people know that that's not what I'm trying to do, but King Artaxerxes knows that that's not what I'm trying to do. So they move on to the next attack. This strategy in investing in deception, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be threats, that there's going to be many threats against you, Nehemiah. Don't you want us to help you with those threats? And it's interesting, they're going to bring up a complete false scenario about an unreal threat. And when this threat comes to Nehemiah, they're going to suggest, hey, run and hide, run and hide. Let's see how this actual play is going to unfold. We will protect your life. Now, it says in verses 10 through 14, let me read them for you. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of that guy, and it was shut up. And they said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night, they will come to slay thee. This is the desire to inject fear of a complete story that was made up. And I said, should such as man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? Shemaiah, who was a hireling false prophet by Sanballat and Tobiah in verse 12, devised a plan to trap Nehemiah. He shut himself into the house of God and pretended that, like Nehemiah, his life was in danger. So what I'm sure he did is he ran to the temple and said, hey, go tell Nehemiah. Now, weren't some of the priests actually on the side of Sanballat and Tobiah? They were. Go and tell Nehemiah. I've shut myself up in here. There's a great master plan to kill me and Nehemiah. Go tell Nehemiah so that he can come here and hide with me in the temple. So Nehemiah came to see him in the temple, and Shemaiah suggested that he and Nehemiah both take refuge in the temple. In other words, don't go out there and do any more of the work. Stay here in the temple with me, boy. They're going to come up with some guys, some big warriors they're going to attack, and they're going to get through, and they're going to kill us too. Well, they're saying to Nehemiah that they needed to do that because they're come to kill you. Indeed, they're going to come and kill you in the night. Nehemiah's response, he quickly detected that Shemaiah was a false prophet. And so looking in verse 11, and I said, should such a man as I do this? I'm not going to hide in the temple to save my life. Nehemiah rejected the ploy of Shemaiah because he knew the word of God and he knew that Shemaiah was a false prophet. And what was being asked of him to do, by the way, what would protect Nehemiah? his knowledge of the Word of God in Numbers chapter 18 in verse 7, which says, therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for every thing of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger, in this case would have been Shemaiah, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Shemaiah was a stranger and a false prophet. Shemaiah shouldn't take refuge in the temple. Shemaiah shouldn't bring Nehemiah to take refuge in the temple. Yea, Shemaiah should be put to death according to the law. So when you sense deception, always run the message of that messenger and the messenger himself through the tests of Scripture. This worked for Nehemiah, as we see in verses 12 and the following. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They had put these words in his mouth and paid him to say that to Nehemiah. Verse 13, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Now, verse 14 indicated that there was a conspiracy against Nehemiah amongst some of the prophets, including a prophetess named Nadiah, that brought a lot of pressure on Nehemiah. Look at verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that they would have put me in fear. Christians, there are always false prophets. There are false preachers out there. There are those who don't preach the gospel saying that salvation is by grace through faith. We must not compromise or join in with them, because if we do, we disobey the Scriptures and we bring ourselves along with them who have an unbiblical agenda. So we must always be vigilant not to meet on the plane of oh no. We must be vigilant not to fall in for these satanic attacks. Now, the third satanic attack in investing in deception is the method of intrigue. Satan is going to use intrigue. And I mean by this, he is going to get to try and infiltrate and destroy them with his plans. Notice with me in verses 15 and 16. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. By the way, that month Elul, that is our August or our September. Verse 16, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were round about saw these things, they were much cast down in their eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Now, the completion of the walls in just 52 days was a major embarrassment to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem and the enemies, since they had publicly opposed the work and said that they were going to stop it. Yet, are they going to restore worship? And Tobiah said, even if a fox runs up there in the wall, it's going to fall down. But Satan, who was energizing them, Satan, who was motivating them, was not a quitter, but stays on the battlefield even after it looks like he's lost the battle. We can win the war and lose the victory without continued vigilance, because our adversary, the devil, is a professional at this and has been doing this for millennia. The great Scottish preacher Andrew A. Bonner once said, "Let us be as watchful after the victory as before the battle." Nehemiah himself and the people were prepared for that, and he told them to be watching and praying, clear back in chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, there was a great victory within. Verse 14, my God, think about Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works. In verse 15, so the wall was finished in the 20th and the 5th day. The wall was completed, but there was now going to be an enemy that was going to rise up within again. Remember, from the beginning, the nobles hadn't really been in on this. And we also saw that there were, in verse 14, some of the prophets, and the prophetess Noadiah was still against this. And so now Satan is going to try and get those that are within to rise up and attack Nehemiah's leadership. You know, it is incredible that any Jew would secretly cooperate with the enemy, especially a noble from the royal line of the tribe of Judah. When the nobles of Judah cooperated with Sanballat, they were resisting the Lord, disobeying the word and jeopardizing their own future. Why would they do that? In short, they believed the lies of Sanballat and Tobiah and stood against Nehemiah. The nobles who refused to help in the work from the beginning, note with me back in chapter 3 and verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 5. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work. The nobles who refused to join in shared the letters with others, that open letter that we saw in verse 5, shared the letters with others in Jerusalem whom they thought they could influence to turn against Nehemiah. And the conspiracy grew, and some of the nobles even became so entrenched in believing Sanballat and Tobiah that it says that they took an oath in verse 18 that they're actually going to take an oath to oppose Nehemiah. Now, the nation of Israel, just before the attacks by Nebuchadnezzar that brought about the destruction that Nehemiah was actually rebuilding the walls from, family and friendships, just before the attack of Nebuchadnezzar's forces in the fall back in 586, family and friendships were so divided by gossip and slander that Jeremiah wrote in that day these words, "Beware of your friends, do not trust in your brothers, for every brother is a deceiver, and every friend a slanderer." That same state, again, is going to exist in Israel during the tribulation period, but see how it existed here in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 17. "Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them." They were corresponding back and forth, trying to infiltrate the leadership in Israel under Nehemiah. "For there were many in Judah sworn unto him," because, and that doesn't mean Nehemiah, "sworn unto Sanballat and Tobiah, because he was the son-in-law." See, there was intermarrying. He was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son of Jonah had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Bechariah. That they were relatives with the ungodly. They had violated and intermarried with the unsaved. And as a result, now that deception, the lies from the heart of an unregenerate were being injected amongst the people. Listen very carefully. When the bonds of human affections become stronger than the bonds of spiritual affections, we are in trouble. When your bond as a Christian with the unsaved round about, whether it's a member of the family, whether it's a member of the remote family, whether it's the people you work with, whether it's the people that you have affections for, if that bond becomes greater than the bonds of those that you are tied to spiritually, you not only are in trouble, but the work of God can be in trouble. Well, the nobles gave their loyalty to Sanballat, and that loyalty belonged only to God. So they were lying to their leader. In verse 19, the nobles carried letters even to Nehemiah. "Also they reported his good deeds before me," Nehemiah saying. They came and they report these supposedly good deeds to try and infect and infiltrate and really confuse Nehemiah. They were betraying their leaders and uttered my words unto him. They went back and shared with Sanballat and Tobiah that which he was sharing unto them in a confidential way. And Tobiah sent letters for one whole reason. Look at the end of verse 19. To put him into fear. Now, the spiritual application for us in our churches today, for our world today. The nobles forsook the law of God, the word of God, to praise the wicked, Sanballat and Tobiah. But if they had been studying the word of God, they would have discernment and not been walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Conclusion? Satan's methods. Invest in deception. Today, many Bible-taught Christians believe, people give their lives and their endorsements to support those who are nothing but religious hucksters, or to support those who are outside of the church who do not want to live to the glory of God. Tobiah and Sanballat kept sending letters to their informers within Jerusalem, and they kept telling the followers of God and Nehemiah to change their allegiance to Sanballat. Nehemiah and his workers tried to ignore the letters. They tried to fight against this, and they kept watching and praying and working until ultimately the task of rebuilding the walls was completed. But the battle is going to continue. Nehemiah now will have to protect that which God has done through his servants. And as we move on to chapter 7, you're going to see that V, which is supposed to be for victory in the Christian life, and it is, also V is for vigilance. We need to constantly be vigilant for the deceptive attacks of Satan. Satan is a master at this. And unless you and I immerse ourselves in the Word of God to know the wisdom of God from the Son of God by the Spirit of God, we will fail in the work of God through compromise, through deception, through infiltration of the worldly and that which is not scripturally accurate. And the evil one will come in and will destroy our churches. He will destroy our work. He will attack us as leaders, and he will cause compromise to come in amongst the people. You see, V is for vigilance. We need to keep confessed up. We need to keep prayed up. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And that way, God will what? He will maintain us. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God will protect, and God will preserve. Let's pray. Lord, protect and preserve us at Berean Baptist Church and all those who are tuned in via the internet and whatever church they go to. Protect and preserve us from the evil one, from those that are willfully carnal, from those who willfully walk away from the truth. And help us, Lord, to be loving and faithful, obedient, and stand boldly and courageously like Nehemiah. And join in the work like the many did in Jerusalem. Our work, Lord, is winning souls, proclaiming your truth, and standing up for you in a corrupt and lost and dying world, proclaiming the gospel. So, Lord, strengthen us not to fall for satanic ploys as he is constantly, constantly looking for the weakest links in our church, in our leadership, and in our groups, Lord, to try and attack us. Strengthen us and preserve us, O Lord, for we rest and we trust in thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday night in our study of Nehemiah. We hope that these biblical principles will be an encouragement and strength in your life. May the Lord preserve you, bless you, and keep you. Thank you.